Welcome to Emil Franzing's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of warriors.
And you're darn tootin' about that one.
Hey, you're tootin', you little
old. Welcome to another edition of Emil Franzing's Voices of the West. I'm Harry Alexander, Bunker de France across the way from us.
Yep.
And in the Los Angeles area is our good friend Todd Roberts.
Gentlemen, it is so good to be with you today.
Yes, indeed.
As I am here in Orange County, it's a little warm, and we're not allowed back into Nola's house until way after the show's over. So we're parked in a church parking lot in the shade.
Okay.
I'm taking up three spaces, and, you know, I got a bottle of hooch, and I keep trying to give Nola a squeeze.
All right. Well, good that you got the hooch.
At the hooch store.
Hooch is helpful for the squeezing part.
I hear you. All right. We are streaming to you live from the Tucson Auto Museum here in, where else? Tucson.
Yeah.
They specialize in unique automobiles, and there's bunches of them here.
Oh, they're unique upon unique.
You know, you need a scorecard when you come out here, I'll tell you what. Right in front of us, in front of our studio, is a 1910 Hupmobile. Only cost $750.
Back then? Wow, that's too much money for
a
car.
You know...
I wouldn't pay that much money for a car.
And it has right-hand drive.
Well, that's so different.
And
Tell us why it has a right-hand drive.
I don't know why it has... Well, I think, I don't know this for sure, but I think the reason it has a right-hand drive car is because in the age of wagons and stages, the driver always sat on the right-hand side. And as Bunker told me, it's because the brake is there.
Yeah, it's also a carryover from the old way. And then somebody... Some goofy guy put the steering wheel on the wrong side
I bet it was Henry Ford.
Could have been.
Anywho.
Some of those cars actually had it in the middle.
Well, that's true, too. Hey,
so they couldn't make up their mind.
I saw a movie last night where the wagon had a wheel.
Yes.
What was that? Was that the Thicket?
Twister. I mean, the Thicket.
The Thicket. All right. Anywho. This is a great place to come out and spend a lot of time. It's at 4825 North Sabino Canyon Road here in Tucson. Their website, TucsonAutoMuseum.org. Check them out and come on down and be part of the studio audience here.
Hey, you know, I recommend if you come down here to look at the cars, get you a bib, because you're going to be drooling all over yourself. There's no sense ruining a good shirt.
There you go. All right. So we got Bunker's Bunkhouse?
Yeah, well, we coming to you from Bunker's Bunkhouse. Is the good, the bad, and the bovine.
All right.
Now, I'm going to explain this because Carissa is probably not familiar with it. And being an educator, this is going to just totally blow her mind. But what I do, Carissa, is I take today's date, which in this case is the 15th, and I go back 3 days in time. And then I come back to today, and then I go 3 days into the future. But I don't go into the future, I go into the past future.
Right.
So I know that's very clear and everybody understands.
You need a scorecard, I'll tell you.
Now.
Except if you have dyslexia.
That is true.
Then you're going ahead instead of back.
Hey, you know.
And by the way, I have it, so I'm lost already. We haven't even started the show.
You're sitting in a car drinking hooch. That's why. Anyhow, speaking of dyslexia, I think I've got half a dozen different childhood disorders, which maybe Carissa could help me with when we get to that part of the show. But starting with August 12th, 1881, there's a gentleman named Cecil Blount DeMille. Now, you probably know him as Cecil B. DeMille. I'm just going to run down a quick list of his silent westerns. And there's only a few. But his very first one was The Squaw Man, 1914.
Excellent movie.
He made three of those.
Excellent movie.
Oh, yeah. The Call of the Northwest, Call of the North, 1914. The Virginian, 1914.
Excellent.
Have you seen these? Oh, good. Because they are. Rose of the Rancho, 1914. The Girl of the Golden West, 1950. And that's interesting because The Girl of the Golden West is an opera. And it was a silent movie.
Interesting.
Very interesting. How did he do it? The Warrens of Virginia, 1950. Jimmy Fadden Out West. That's an interesting one because it was a sequel. Jimmy Fadden was kind of a con man. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like Laurel and Hardy or the Bowery Boys Out West kind of thing, you know. Silly Western. What is that one? What the heck? Trail of the Lonesome Pine. Okay, I didn't do that one. And that's 16. Romance of the Redwoods, 1917. The Woman God Forgot. That's what it is. I didn't spell it all the way out. And then the second remake of Squaw Man in 1918. Then he went on to do the Squaw Man with the sound, and that was the movie that made Hollywood.
You know, when Todd and I went to the Autry Museum eons back, one of the displays was C.B. DeMille's camera and script from Squaw Man.
Didn't it have the megaphone, too?
No, I didn't see a megaphone.
Yes.
It did it? I didn't see that. But anywho, that was way cool to see that.
Well, speaking of cool...
The soundstage that it was shot on was an old barn.
Right.
And it is across the street from the Hollywood Bowl.
Yep.
It's called the Hollywood Heritage Museum.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was a very good addition there. Okay, now, moving up to the 13th of August, 1860. This young lady was born Phoebe Ann Mosey. You know who that was?
Nope.
Annie Oakley.
Oh.
And anyhow, she was an exhibition trick shooter and folk heroine who starred in the Buffalo Bill Wild West. And this is interesting. Now, in 1894, her and her husband, Frank Butler, who was also a world-class shootist, performed in Edison's Kinescope. This was the second film that the Buffalo Bill group had done. It was called Annie Oakley or Little Sure Shot of the Wild West, and it lasted, and I hope you had a small bag of popcorn, because it only lasted 21 seconds.
I saw that,
that
was pretty good.
It was good. All those things are good.
I love those silence.
Well, that, name she got from Sitting Bull, he called her the best shot he ever saw. And he gave her an Indian, her Indian name given to her by Sitting Bull was Little Sure Shot.
And that came to you from Little Big Shot. Okay, thank you, Little Big Shot. Okay.
Or how about Little Big Mouth?
Hey, no, that's good. I like Little Big Shot. Okay, August 14th, 1726, the Spanish... Villasur Expedition.
That print's getting close to the paper, is it?
Yeah. It was led by Lieutenant General Pedro de Villasur.
Villasenor.
S-U-R.
Oh.
Villasur. They were attacked by Pawnee and Oto Indians in Nebraska. 36 of his 40 soldiers, 10 Indian allies, and a French guide were killed. The survivors retreated back to New Mexico. That's a safe place to be.
Yeah.
Now, August 15th, that would be today, but in 1814.
Took a little trip down the Mississippi.
British forces launched costly and unsuccessful night attack against Americans at Fort Erie, one of the last engagements of the War of 1812, taking place during the Niagara Campaign. The attempted siege ended one of the last British offenses along the northern border. Now, here's one. It's a favorite of all of us. August 16, 1899, George Glenn Strange, also known affectionately as Pee-wee because he was so short.
And Sam.
He's only 6'5". Anyhow, he was born in Weed, New Mexico Territory.
Yep.
Before becoming an actor, he was a singer, a professional boxer. He fought heavyweight Primo Canera, cattle rancher, rodeo rider, deputy sheriff, police officer. He was cousin to Cactus Max, Rex Allen, and Lee Lashes White. We need to talk about Lashes sometimes.
Yeah.
And this is what's considered three of his most important orders, and I think this is up to discussion. Anyhow, the first one is Stage to Chino in 1940. Billy the Kid Trapped, 1942. That was with Buster Crabby. And The Road to Denver, 1955. And what is interesting, he, according to IMBD, he has 707 credits. Couldn't keep a job.
You know, that happens in Hollywood.
Yeah. Checks in the mail. Okay, August 17, 1786, Davy Crockett, also known as the King of the Wild Frontier, or Davy Crockett, was a frontiersman, a soldier, a politician, a folk hero. Born in Frontier, Tennessee, he was a skilled hunter, served in the Tennessee militia during the Creek Wars, and I like this part. He opposed Andrew Jackson's Indian Removal Act in Congress. Mm-hmm. And somehow or another, he got himself killed at a little place called the Alamo on March 6, 1836.
Bummer.
And we're going to finish up this week that wasn't with August 18, 1774. Meriwether Lewis, explorer, politician, soldier, public administrator, best known as the co-leader with William Clark of the Corps of Discovery and the exploration of the territory of the Louisiana Purchase. What's interesting, and it shows you how nepotism is important, he served as secretary to President Thomas Jefferson, who chose him to lead the expedition. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, he was later appointed governor of the Louisiana Territory by his benefactor, Jefferson. And I'm going to leave you with this one. This is for all the brothers out there. He was a Freemason.
Hey, there you go.
That's
all right.
It's the week that was.
It's time to bring on our guest, Clarissa Williams, and she's a Western Writers of America Spur Award winner, author of bunches of kid books, and welcome to the show, Clarissa.
Well, I am happy to be here, and I'm also happy to announce that my fifth great-grandfather married Meriwether Lewis's mother when she became the Widow Lewis.
Well, now, look at that.
So there's your tie-in.
So he's like your great-great-great-great-uncle or something?
My great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Grandfather, ooh, that's even better.
Yes.
It's a shame he wasn't around. You could bounce on his knee and he could tell you stories.
There you go. He was a Harvey, and the Harveys lived next door to Thomas Jefferson, and and where Jefferson grew up. So there you go.
Yeah.
Small world.
Yeah, I like nepotism.
Yeah, why not?
That's on how nothing. I got around. Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to use my connection with you to get ahead in the world.
Well. You won't go.
Well, I wouldn't count on that getting you very far, but you know, my grandfather is also known for having chased Bonnie and Clyde.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
Those are my two claims to fame.
Who was your grandfather, Clarissa?
His name was Jesse Brown, and he was a constable in Hope, Arkansas. And they actually tried to rob the Bank of Hope, and they would chase them as far as the bridge over into Texas or Texarkana, and they never did get real, real close to them.
Well, you know, Clarissa, I got to tell
you,
my second stepdad, Claude Eugene Bryans, he was an Arkansas boy, and he was a full-blooded Choctaw.
Well, right. There you go.
So, Clarissa, I guess we're related somehow or another.
We're all related in some fashion or other.
I mean special.
Well, okay. You are special.
A blood bond.
But you are special. Just so everybody knows. Clarissa, you've got an incredible, I'll call it a resume. I'm not sure that's the correct word. But bunches of kid books. Your most famous one, Carrie Ingalls, The Forgotten Sister, that got you a Western Writers of America Spur Award for Best Juvenile Nonfiction and a Will Rogers Medallion finalist in 2026. That's some pretty incredible stuff.
She put out some pretty impressive books.
Yeah.
Well, I've had two lives. I was a college professor, and I wrote curriculum for special education. And when I retired from that, I started writing children's books, and I got very interested in historical children's books. And when I found out that actually Carrie did a whole lot more for the settlers than her sister Laura ever did, please forgive me, Laura Ingalls Wilder's fans, mm-hmm. but Carrie was really involved in helping settlers not get their land grabbed.
Right.
And she was quite a phenomenal individual, and the more I learned about her, the more excited I got. So I wrote a book about her.
There you go.
Well, you know, I did the same thing. I was able to get a hold of the first chapter of the book, but I was going, this, because I love research. So I ended up, you know, because that's as far as I could go, I just jumped over to the lady herself, and I got bunches of goodies. I know they're probably not in the book, but I know you will be aware of them from your research, so we might just be able to get something going there.
There you go.
I want to know, what is there a difference writing a book for children or a children's book or a kid book, whatever, versus writing for, all right, we'll say young adults and then for adults? What are the differences?
Well, absolutely. When I was working on my doctorate, I was a single mom and I had to make a living and I didn't want to work at McDonald's. So I wrote romance. So I wrote romance novels while I put myself through graduate school.
Oh.
And you know, when you're writing,
God bless you.
No, my late husband went to his grave never knowing my pseudonym.
Were they bodice rippers?
No, they were not bodice rippers, but they are not. Let's just put it this way. I blew my professors away when I arrived at the University of Southern Mississippi, and they said, in order to be an academic, you must publish or perish. And I said, how much do you get paid a word? And when they got through laughing and explaining to me that in academia, you don't get paid any.
Yeah, right, right.
I realized I had to do something to make a living. So I had written formula fiction before, and so I wrote romance novels. And of course, when you're writing for adults, even when you're writing in the Western genre for adults, you can put in a lot more detail. When you're writing for children, now this book is a chapter book, so I could put in some of the research. Uh-huh. But my books for the 5 to 7-year-old group, you've got 1,000 words, and you want to tell a story, and it's very difficult not to throw in a bunch of history that are going to bore kids to death. So you have to pick out the most important details, but you still have to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of our history is being lost because we are not telling stories like we used to. Mm-hmm. My mother was an actress. I learned to read running lines with her. My father was a minister. I had the most schizophrenic upbringing you could ever hope for. But, you know, I've always
Reach
loved
it, sister.
I've always loved to write.
Yeah.
And I was born in Hope, Arkansas. I know neither of the famous men from Hope, biblically or otherwise. But I did, my early years were spent in Hope, sitting with my grandmother out under the trees in the summer, reading and writing stories.
Wow.
And I just absolutely love resilient women. And women that are not afraid to step up.
There you go.
Yeah. My book about bloomers on Pike's Peak is about the first known Caucasian pioneer woman to climb Pike's Peak.
Uh-huh.
And she did it in her bloomers, and she did when she was 19.
Man, you
well,
and
Larissa,
she didn't have a flag to plant, so she planted her bloomers.
You paint a
That's
very
exactly
good.
Right.
You paint a very great picture there, Clarissa.
Well, she was sure to have a flag that way. Number one, but number two, Clarissa, that's not all your education included. Your education included being taught by your father, who had just as much an influence over you, as you told me, than the
That's
women
true.
In your life did.
Absolutely.
Please share with us how your father taught you to use firearms. We just love firearms on this show, Clarissa.
Well,
we call it the gun show.
I know you do. I grew up with firearms. My brother just didn't take to hunting, and so Dad took me hunting when I was a little girl. I'm very fortunate that he, you know, that he chose to let me live after I stole all the money out of his collection plate once. My dad was a hunter. The only time he was ever not in his pulpit was during deer season. And bless his heart.
He's a hunter for sure.
He lived to see his only grandson shoot his first deer.
He was praying, though.
He was definitely praying.
He was praying.
He was out
in the field praying.
What a hoot. Hey, we got to do our first commercial break here, if I can keep it together. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. And our guest is Clarissa Willis, author, and man, she's a hoot to talk to. Before we go to commercial, I need to tell you about the White Stallion Open House that's happening on Sunday, October 25th of this year. It's from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's Mountain Standard Time, because we don't do that daylight saving time crap. It's a special day celebrating 60 years of a White Stallion Ranch. It's presented in partnership with the Base Camp for Veterans, Inc. Proceeds from that event will help support BCI's work with veterans through horses, horsemanship, and community. You know, kids can do it too, veterans as well. Very good for PTSD, no question. Day passes are $40, and it includes a lunch and a ranch ride. If you want to stay longer and add some dinner, just throw in another $20.
And there's going to be entertainment and all kinds of activities. For brevity, I didn't put everything down.
Okay, well, more details will be coming out soon, so stay tuned for that and check out the White Stallion website. We'll be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
Keep your hands on the desk, Gorman.
I thought I told you to stay out of town.
Listen, you three, I don't mind being ambushed. Sometimes I think it's fun, but I don't think it's fun when there's a lady along.
This is the Voices of the West.
Oh,
Yeah. That old Panhandle Ranch. We're doing this for you, Frank Hughes.
We're back. You can tell Bob Wills, man, without a question. We're back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France. Todd Roberts in Orange County, California. California.
In a church parking lot. In
a sucking hooch. Yes. I mean,
in the shade.
Good God Almighty. Our guest, Clarissa Willis. Oh, my God. I'm losing it.
Discipline.
I'm losing it here, fellas.
Hey, Clarissa, I have a question for you here.
Sure.
Why do you refer to yourself as a recovering speech language pathologist?
Well, because that was my first career, and we did everything in isolation. And for the special education folks out there, we now know that children learn best with their typically developing peers.
Yeah.
So that's why I jokingly refer to myself as a recovering speech pathologist. But everything leads to something. Even back when I was in the classroom, the stories of teaching in rural, the Ozark Mountains, my first teaching job, they couldn't afford a full-time teacher, so they gave me an old house to live in.
Wow.
So, you know, it's all led up to stories that I have. Some I have written, some if a couple of more people die, I'm going to write my memoirs, but I got to wait for a couple of more folks to pass on. But it's been a great ride. I enjoy writing. I enjoy being with people, obviously. I'm a bit of a storyteller. This has been fun so far.
Well, you know, the reason I asked you is because you've been listening to the show, and I definitely need some kind of speech pathology.
You're just fine as you are.
He needs a lot more than that, trust me.
Drink less bourbon.
I was in Costa Rica last week, and they serve something called jungle juice that I think is the answer to everything.
You are absolutely correct.
No, but I do know why Finland has the happiest people. They drink berry juice, fermented berry juice, all over Finland when I was there.
You know, that's it.
It's all about the fermentation.
So, Clarissa, talking about your memoirs, please tell us how you were so close to being arrested and thrown in the hooskow for stealing the pledge plate.
Oh, the gun
in church while your father was giving a sermon.
No, my father was not giving a sermon. I was never arrested for trying to kill my brother, although I did try. But I was
We're gonna get there, Clarissa.
Let's
talk about the collection plate first.
Let's talk about being arrested in Carroll County, Arkansas for horse theft.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I was at a writer's conference, and there was a very good-looking cowboy there named Frederick Bean. He has now passed on, but he wrote a lot of westerns, and he was charming, and he was good-looking, and he asked me if I'd like to go on a carriage ride, and I said, absolutely, I would. And we went outside, and there was a horse and a carriage, and we got inside the horse and carriage, took ourselves a little moonlit drive through Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and got arrested because he didn't bother to pay anyone for it. And fortunately, we were put into the jail. Fortunately, our good friend Dusty Richards, who some of you may have known, came and bailed us out. And because he was also the farm director on the TV show, the people in Eureka Springs, the policeman, was very, very taken by the fact that he was the resident celebrity. And therefore, a little money passed hands and the charges were dropped.
Well, Dusty Richards was quite a guy, and I could see why you got off.
He's the reason that I'm a writer. In 1985, I accidentally got a flyer for a writer's conference, went up to Northwest Arkansas, where I met him for the first time, and he was my mentor in many, many ways until his untimely passing.
All right, let's talk about how you almost killed your brother.
Well, it wasn't...
Allegedly,
Moses was better off when his sister put him to float in the river. And so I just took my brother and put him in a basket and put him to float in the Red River.
Like Moses.
My house. It was a little creek, and my neighbor pole vaulted and rescued him. But from my point of view, I was just play acting.
Oh, my God. Sounds like a movie there.
You know, just think about this, though. Had that neighbor hadn't intervened, he might have drifted on downstream, been rescued by a princess from Egypt, taken off to the Holy Land, and become a prophet.
There you go. You never know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did try a couple of more times, but...
Repeat offender.
Oh, my God. Superman could fly.
If at once we don't succeed, let's try again.
Yeah.
Well, Superman could fly on Saturday mornings, and so I got him to jump off the second floor of my grandmother's house.
He was never suspicious when you got him the T-shirt with the bullseye on it?
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, that's what brothers and sisters do. My wife is part of a five, there are five siblings in that pack, and they all do that kind of stuff. My brother was 12 and a half years older than I was when I was born, so I didn't get to do those kinds of things, but I did it with my nephews. Yeah. I taught my nephew how to rappel off the roof.
At their house.
You know, so
childhood was a wonderful time.
I taught my kids to do some of those bizarre things as well, much to the consternation of the missus. Mm-hmm. But hey.
Well, I want to know something else here now. You apparently were inducted into the Arkansas Writers Hall of Fame in 2026. What did you write so that they would put you in there?
Well, I've written 19 teacher books, 4 curriculums, and 9 children's books.
Well, that's...
I've also been involved with the Ozark Creative Writers in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, since 1985.
Oh,
so
that's right.
They nominated me, and I was absolutely so speechless. I could not believe that I was in the Arkansas Writers Hall of Fame with, you know, people like the guy that wrote True Grit, Charles Portis, and, you know, people that were really famous.
Hey, so you're famous now.
Yeah, for sure.
For us, anyway.
Yeah, well, being on the show makes you famous.
Absolutely.
Well, that may be a step backwards, but that's all right. You'll overcome it.
So, Clarissa, where did you get your beautiful accent? I know you're born in Arkansas, but you lived in North Carolina. I lived in North Carolina, and,
I don't,
but she sounds like it's a North Carolina accent or a Georgia accent.
I was born in Arkansas, but I went to school at the University of Southern Mississippi.
There you go.
And I lived, in fact, I taught a kid named Brett Favre. Some of you may have heard of him. He played a little football.
Yeah, he did.
And when he was a freshman, in my freshman intro to education class, they had to set their goals for 5 years, and he stood up and said his goal was to make enough money to buy his mama a new double wide. And
there
I believe
you go.
He accomplished that.
That shows you're a true Southern boy when you give your mom a double wide.
I love the South. I love how the accents go. I lived in North Carolina. I lived in Georgia. I lived in Florida. And, you know, it is just, it's so good. Hey, we got to do our next commercial break here. On Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you, and Clarissa Willis, our guest. We'll get back to that in just a moment. Hang on.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911 That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, 200 full-service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
Look at that. El Coyote Ralph's Rustlers. When I took you into this deal, I thought you were tough. Now you let one masked man make fools of the lot of you.
He may be afraid to show his face, but he throws lead like it was coming out of a Gatling gun. And you ought to see his eyes. Give you the creeps.
If I want anything done right around here, I have to do it myself.
This is the Voices of the West.
Back on Amble Francie's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France. We're in Tucson at the Tucson Auto Museum, streaming live. And Todd Roberts is also streaming live, but from Orange County, California. And what I got to do is tell you about this big event happening down at the Empire Ranch. It's the 150th anniversary. It's happening next Saturday, the 22nd of August, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's a free event. And our own Bunker de France is going to be down there, too, doing whatever stories he makes up.
Well, I'm going to be doing it. We have a exhibit of the Westerns that were shot on the Empire. And Patty, I can't remember her last name, and Gene Freeze,
all right,
and myself, we're going to be talking about movies at the Empire.
How cool. Elsewhere with the event, Danger Road, that's from 9 to 10. It's the Peril of Travels Through the Sonoyta Valley. Then at from 10 to noon, Ranch History Presentations, Hollywood and the Empire, Strolling Musicians. At 10:30, Walter Vail, Arizona and California Rancher. It'll be a book signing by Allison Bunning, the historian for the Empire Ranch. Right. And then closing remarks, it's it's a free event. Go down there. It's a 150-year celebration. It's a cool thing to do, and you're going to enjoy it.
And there'll be tea and cake at the presentation.
I'll bring my own.
Bring your own tea and your own cake.
Clarissa Willis is our guest, and she's an author, number of children's books, kid books, I prefer that. And she's also done 19 teacher resource books. And when she did the college thing, and bunches of other stuff, and got lots.
How you can spot a children's book from across the room?
You know, yeah.
All the corners are chewed.
I want to know about this book, Clarissa, that you've showing on your website here. You are not from around here, are you? We say it out here. You ain't from around these parts, is you?
That's exactly right. I was out in Sedona, Arizona. I did have a milestone birthday. I won't tell you which one.
All right.
And Sedona is my happy place.
There you
and
go.
And I went on a UFO sighting. You put on the glasses and you look up.
Yeah.
And every now and then the guide would say, "Oh, that's a satellite. That's a planet. That's a star. Oh, that's not from around here." And so I imagined a little cowboy that would go on his first camping trip with his new cowboy hat, his new cowboy boots, out to Sedona, and his little dog runs in the desert at night, and he follows him, and of course runs into a little alien.
Todd, you did that when you were in Sedona, right?
Exactly.
Todd was an alien.
The years I lived in Sedona, some of them are forgettable because there was outside influences. And then there were others that were forgettable because my parents kept saying, "Todd, let's try to forget that story, please. Please, can we?
There you go.
Let's let that go." Yeah, Sedona's a special place, obviously, Carissa.
It's a very special place. And in my little story, the little alien gives him a rock, and my little fella needs to give him a gift, so he gives him his cowboy hat. And the last the last scene in the book is where the little boy's dad says, "Where's your new cowboy hat?" And he says, "It's not from around here anymore." And you see the little alien and his dad speeding off into space with a cowboy hat on.
They started a new fashion trend back home.
That's right.
So I hope my tax accountant didn't listen to this. Plus, when you go on a vacation and you write a book, you can take it off your taxes.
There you go.
That's right.
And so, you know, I was able to, but I just got to thinking, what would happen if a little, you know, children are more alike no matter where they are.
Yeah.
And it gave me a chance to throw in, I always throw in a little something educational. You know, Sedona is one of the dark city, one of the places that's been designated as a dark city. And the Dark City Initiative, I think, is just wonderful for families.
No kidding.
And so I put in a whole page about dark sky cities and how you can find where they are so you can take your children out and just be outside. The educator in me says we got to get kids back outside.
I think that book would make a great Steven Spielberg movie.
Well, if you know Steven, next time you're having coffee with him, I'll be happy to send you a free coffee.
Well, you know, he's from Phoenix, you know.
Well, you know, it's possible.
The Dark Sky Initiative is really important if you want to be looking up and seeing what's above us, because we are not alone. I'm here to tell you, folks, we are not alone.
I wonder if E.T. had a little cowboy hat when he came here.
He might have.
I don't think he had, but he should have.
He probably looked like Bruce Dern's hat.
I believe you're probably correct.
Anywho, Tucson used to be a dark cities thing,
anymore.
But way too many streetlights, and that's not a bad thing, but they changed the streetlight type, and so it can work to be out in the desert, away from Tucson, but the best place is to go way out in the desert.
I was going to say, I live up on the foothills of the Tucson Mountains.
Yeah.
And you can't see the skies at night.
Yeah, well,
but you go up to Oracle,
you can see everything.
Oh my God!
I know.
You're thinking 2001: A Space Odyssey.
It's really interesting, and what's cool. I took astronomy as my one of my subjects in college, and man, I love that stuff. That is just so cool. So
I took astrology.
Cool.
If you will allow me one moment of.
Go.
Shameless self-promotion.
Please do. Please.
My website, ClarissaWillis.com. It's my name. Every one of my children's books, which it gives you all kinds of links of where to buy them, but for free on my website is a resource guide for teachers, parents, and librarians that go with every one of my books.
Oh, cool.
So you can just download it for free. And so there you go. That's my moment of shameless self-promotion.
Well, you're going to give you another chance later on.
Yeah, right.
All right. Thank you.
We have no shame here.
Todd Roberts, get in there.
I can find a dark city in any town I go to if I spend enough time in the bar.
Of course you can.
You know,
face down in the gutter, it's always dark.
There you are.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I have a bad habit of being there so long that the bartender says, "We have no more liquor. Leave." So, Clarissa, explain to us how, you know, you went to a writer's conference and, but what was it that inspired you to want to be a writer? Where did that spark come from?
It came from my grandmother, who was not allowed to graduate the 10th grade in Hope, Arkansas, because she could not afford a white dress and white buckle-up shoes to wear. And she absolutely loved to write, and she encouraged me to write. And I am proud to say that my 13-year-old granddaughter just published her first book.
Nice!
That is awesome.
Now, it's not of a genre I'm going to read, and I certainly can't recommend it to my friends because it's for teenagers of and it's about an apocalyptic bunch of zombies that pretty much chomp down on the whole world. But for a 13-year-old to write an 80,000 word book, is pretty impressive. So
that's a lot of discipline.
Passing on some of that. Nice. But I just have always loved to write because I love to tell stories, and most of them have a grain of truth in them.
I always loved to write, but I couldn't spell.
Well, that's always
I missed the day we did spelling in Arkansas. You know, we only did spelling one day and math one day.
Hey, those numbers are just overrated. We need to abolish them.
Hey, that's
there
what,
you go.
That's what fingers
and toes
are for. Well,
I'm
quitting
you ever used algebra again, right?
Oh, my God. Bunker, go ahead.
Go what? Go where?
Go. Ask a question.
Oh, ask a question.
Straight down.
Oh, well, in that case, let's see here. Let's get to Carrie here and talk about her for a little bit here.
Sure.
You know, we know that the family moved a lot, and Carrie was born in, Rutland Township, Montgomery County, Kansas, on the Osage Indian Reservation. And I thought that was interesting because Papa didn't bother to make a claim, and even if he had, it wouldn't have been any good because it was the reservation. What do you think of those Ingalls?
Papa Ingalls was just a free spirit and liked to move around a lot. And you got to admire him for that one. But he apparently was just always looking for the next place to go. But, Carrie just sort of defied the odds. She was the first female newspaper editor west of the Mississippi. She taught settlers how to prove they lived on their land by putting ads in the newspapers. She was a typesetter, and then she went out and homesteaded herself and didn't even marry till she was in her 40s, and was just an incredible, accomplished woman who just didn't give up. But she nearly froze to death in DeSmet.
Yeah.
In the Dakotas during the Great Blizzard, because what people don't realize is when the blizzards came, the railroads stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these people couldn't get things. And had it not actually been for the Wilder family owing Charles a little bit of money, they gave him some grain that kept the family alive.
Yeah, that was 81, yeah.
And so it was she did not have an easy life, and she was not a healthy woman. She really never quite got over that winter, but she was a fighter, and, yeah, and she was scrappy. She connected herself with this Stein fella who was, by some accounts, a bit of a roustabout, but he basically went and bought newspapers, and when a town would grow enough and didn't need the newspapers anymore, he'd go buy another one.
Hmm.
And she would just go in, and she was sort of his front man, and she would set it all up.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things, I liked going off in the rabbit hole, and her middle name fascinated me, Celestia. So I looked it up, and it's a variant of Celeste, which means heavenly or of the sky in Latin. And, you know, that in itself tells you that the family was educated.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And they very, very much valued education and exploration and, yeah.
Well, teaching was in the family, it blood up, obviously. Yep.
Well, actually, the truth be known, neither Carrie or Laura really enjoyed teaching.
Yeah.
Even though it was portrayed. My favorite bad review I got of the book, and I've had more laughs over it, was someone put on Amazon that I gave me a 1 for the book. Mm-hmm. Because they said I obviously had not watched the TV show.
But well, we know they never tell anything
wrong. That's right. It's always true on TV. We got to do our final commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts in Orange County, Clarissa Willis, our guest author. And I got to tell you about the White Stallion Ranch Open House happening Sunday, October 25, from 8 a.m. to 7 7 p.m. That's Mountain Standard Time. And it's a special day celebrating 60 years of the White Stallion Ranch. It's presented in partnership with Base Camp for Veterans. And that's a proceeds from that event will help support BCI's work with veterans through horses, horsemanship, and community. The day pass is $40 and it includes a lunch and a ranch rodeo. And stay longer, throw in $20, you get some dinner.
More good food,
always good food. More to come on that stuff. And also, we are streaming live to you from the Tucson Auto Museum, specializing in the unique automobiles. There's bunches of cars. At least,
there's cars that you never even heard of.
I know, there's got to be at least 100 cars here, easily. And I'm looking at a 1937 Cord convertible. Oh my God, one of the most beautiful cars of the 1930s, beautifully designed cars of the 1930s. The Cord. Anywho, we'll be back with much more on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West with Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, and Todd Roberts in Los Angeles right after these important messages.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and a hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
I'm Mr. Red.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horsin' Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horsin' Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horsin' Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horsin' Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horsinaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horsinaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
Cannonball, what's happened? Another holdup, Jeff.
Anybody hurt?
Yes, ma'am. Two of the gun guards got winged. Them road agents took everything this time. They took the wagon train and all.
Got any idea who did it?
Got any idea? Sure, I recognize that dirty lightning Barlow.
Was the train stopped with explosions?
With explosion, I thought I was back in the Civil War.
This is the Voices of the West.
Ammo Franzi's Voices of the West. Knuckles O'Toole tickling the ivories there. It's called the Cannonball Rag, and the drop that you heard is Cannonball.
Cannonball.
And I forget what movie it came from. But
Scott Joplin.
No, not Cannonball Rag. The Cannonball Drop.
Cannonball Run?
No, it doesn't matter.
Cannonball's on the Mississippi?
It could be. We're back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Clarissa Willis is our guest. ClarissaWillis.com is the website. And it is time once again for shameless promotion. Clarissa.
That's not us, you.
Oh, is that me?
Yeah, that's you.
Not us, you.
That's me. Okay, well, I certainly want to say a shout out to my publisher, Solander Press. A Solander is a box where you keep the most precious things you will own. And Solander Press publishes books for children and the adults in their life. SolanderPress.com, ClarissaWillis.com. And if anybody ever wants to reach out to me, it is Clarissa at ClarissaWillis.com.
Well, alrighty then. Now, Todd Roberts has the most important question to end up our time for today. Todd?
Yes, I am here.
So, suck and hooch.
It's a good thing
Clarissa.
Nap time is over.
Clarissa?
I'm here.
We have a question for you, which we ask every guest.
All right.
Don't believe the lies that there is no pressure to this question. There's a lot of pressure. Some guests have even said it was crushing.
All right. I'm ready.
Atlas shrugged.
And they've never been invited back.
And we had one guest that never answered.
Right.
Yeah, who didn't want to come back. And here it goes. Clarissa? Your favorite film or TV Western?
Oh, my, that's a tough one. Well, I'm sorry, I have to go with Gunsmoke.
All right.
I grew up
watching
it on Saturday night at 9 o'clock.
Yep.
They would put us to bed, and I would sneak up, and I remember laying on the floor right outside of where my parents were watching it. I grew up with Gunsmoke. I loved Matt Dillon. You know, there were some other great Westerns done, but, man, I had this thing for Chester, and I had this thing for Matt Dillon and Miss Kitty and Doc. And later, old Festus Hagen had to be from Arkansas. I don't care what he said. I got a cousin that kind of looks like
Twisty him. Wind.
But I loved Gunsmoke. It was a part of my childhood that I associate with parents, with grandparents.
Yep.
So that's got to be the choice.
Hey, if you do streaming television and you get the Pluto, P-L-U-T-O, like the planet, I think it's still a planet, the Pluto is a streaming service. They have a Gunsmoke channel that they use.
They certainly do.
24 hours a day. My wife and I are glued to that frequently.
You know that little kid that went to Sedona and met the outer space alien? I'll bet you money he watches reruns of Gunsmoke.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yep.
I bet he does. And believe it or not, I've been to China, and they show it in China, and you haven't lived till you've seen Gunsmoke spoken by in Chinese.
When I was in Thailand, I saw Bonanza in Thai.
Yes.
And it's like, oh.
I'll give you one. I was down in Mexico working on Catch 22, and the 2001 space. It was a Bonanza. They were showing as a movie, but they were showing two episodes back to back that had absolutely nothing to do
with
each other. And the funny thing is, it was in German. And with Spanish subtitles.
There you go. All right. Clarissa, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. You are a hoot, Dr. Willis.
Doctor Who.
Thank you very much. I've had a good time.
Oh, man.
And
we appreciate it. We appreciate it.
I would love
thank
to come
you,
back again.
Clarissa.
Oh, man. You know, when you when the next one comes out, you let us know, and we'll have you back on the
yes.
show. Because
I would love it. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh,
you guys
no.
are great.
No, thank you.
Yeah, well, we're committable.
Yeah, we are. That's it for this edition of Able Friends.
You know, we do have...
Go ahead, Todd.
We do have guests that some, you know, Clarissa, we do have guests that we hope we never hear from again. You are not one of them.
That is the nicest thing anybody said to me in a long, long time.
And, you know, it's because of your damn Southern accent.
Absolutely, and it gets thicker the nicer you are.
Over in New Mexico, we call people like you a keeper.
There you go. That's it for this edition of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts with you.
78, 79, adios, Carissa, and may you just keep packing out them little kitty books, because as Fester would say, them little rascals, they need educating.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.